No, the afternoon services are conducive. This hour after eating a good meal is conducive to sleep, not thought. But I'm thankful also we are discussing this afternoon. It is a blessing to be able to come together, to spend some time together fellowshipping, to have an extended time away from the concerns of the world, to be able to focus our minds on the things of God. And for some that travel, it's a blessing to be able to get in more than one service a week. I'm aware of places where people don't have a place to worship, and it really is a privilege to be able to come together, encourage one another, worship in spirit and truth, be able to be strengthened for the day ahead, the week ahead. I don't know about you, but living in a real world that's away from God and dealing with the everyday problems on the job and in society itself tends to drain me of my spiritual resources, tends to focus my mind on things other than the things of God. So I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to come in and be able to do that. Now, I know you do have to fight a little bit of the drowsies, a little bit of the heavy-headedness after a good meal, but you pray for me and I'll pray for you. You pray for me that God will quicken my mind in speaking, and I'll pray for you that God will quicken your mind in hearing that we might benefit of being in the service. We're going to begin in the 23rd Proverb, Proverbs 23. While you're turning, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful care in every way. Truly, you've been very good to us in every way. Now help us, you see, Lord, the time of the day, the drowsiness. But I pray that you'll help quicken our minds that we might receive from you. I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. My mind's influenced, of course, by a number of things. The thoughts that have went through my mind this week, the problems I've dealt with, the circles that I've been in, all those things influence my thinking as I begin to study. And I pray and I look at the different situations. I know maybe what I'm speaking on this afternoon does not directly grip everybody, but it grips us all, I think, together. I'm going to speak on the topic of truth matters this afternoon. One of the big problems in the Christian world today, in Christianity today, is the wide range of diverse doctrines that are being taught. There is not one voice. I mean, one of the problems, there's maybe half the population's in church this morning and today, but on the moral issues facing our society, there's not a voice of Christianity. There's lots of little voices of Christianity. Many of them saying, oh, this thing's fine. While others are saying it's absolutely not fine, right? I mean, there's no clear voice that says this is what God has to say. To speak with one voice for Christianity. The church world doesn't speak with one voice. Christian circles don't. Not even in real, what seemed to me to be moral, clear moral matters. Situations like abortion, homosexuality, different moral evils in our society. The church doesn't speak with one voice. And the result in our society is moral confusion. Because there's not a clear, people live certain ways, they don't even know they're wrong. Honest, they do not know what they're doing or how they're behaving is morally wrong. They don't have that concept. There isn't that teaching. Because there's so much diversity, some have taken a very hard line on what they believe. I mean, this is it, this is the truth, or it's the highway. And that ain't the path either. Because not everything do we have to see eye to eye on perfectly. Because of all the confusion in the church, because of all the division, some people are just tired of fighting. And there's some that advocate that we ignore almost any doctrine in order to have peace and unity. And I'll tell you this, there is room for some difference of opinion. But at the same time, we have to balance that with the truth that it does matter what we believe. Truth matters. Proverbs 23 and 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. This passage I chose tells us to buy the truth, get the truth, and don't let it go. Don't sell it. Obtain it. Don't let it go. Hold it. Don't sell it. Don't give it up for something else. I want to start this afternoon by saying truth is central to the message of God's Word. Over and over and over, truth is a concept that's presented in God's Word. First of all, it's truth that frees us from sin and Satan. John 8:31, Jesus said unto the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered and said, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou? You'll be made free. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, make you free, you'll be free indeed. But what I wanted to catch was, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It is equated with the freedom that Christ gives us in salvation. Because in one verse it says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And another says, the Son will make you free, and you'll be free indeed. Right? But truth is central to the message of God's word. First, in that it frees us from sin and Satan. Secondly, it's by truth that we're sanctified. It's by truth that we're purified. By truth that we're made holy. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Again, the idea of purifying in obeying the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Next, God desires that all come to know the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The truth is central to the message of God's word. It's central to salvation. So the question is, what's truth? I mean, that's the question. We throw that around all the time. Truth. I mean, everybody, and ain't nobody out here preaching doesn't say they don't have the truth. I mean, they're not going to say, well, this ain't the truth, but this is what I teach, right? I mean, everybody. But most of the time when people say the truth, they mean their particular doctrine or their particular collection of doctrines, right? Or what their church teaches. Well, what is the truth? Well, in its basic form, truth is that which is right, that which is correct. I mean, truth is what is right. Truth is reality. It's the way things really are. And when I say truth, I don't want you to think some particular set of doctrines, some particular set of beliefs, some unique that makes us this or this. You can put a label on a lot. And as I would say different labels in my mind, I know the list of, if you'd ask them what the truth is, the list of doctrines that they would give you, depending on the label that is there. But the truth is reality. It's the way things really are. What's really right. Truth, then, in the context of Christianity, the context of religion, is that which God has revealed to be right and correct. Amen? He says, John 17:17, I read, says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy truth, or thy word, is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth is God's revelation of himself. I mean, it's in his word, he's revealed himself to us. His way. It's what's revealed in God's word is reality. It's the way this world really come to be. It's the way God is, the way God interacts with people. His word is truth. Amen? It's a revelation of himself. It's a revelation of how to live in harmony with others and with God. All that opposes God's word, on the other hand, is false. Romans 3:4 says, God forbid, let God be true and every man a liar. You know what that means? Any discovery of reality will be in line with God's word. Any so-called science that does not agree with God's word is false. And in time, it'll be shown to be. Because it's not reality. Amen? Truth is reality. Truth is God's revelation of himself and his way. Truth is God's word. Truth will lead us to a holy life. You know, the purpose of God's revelation of himself to us was to lead us to know him, right? I mean, God desired that we'd come to know him. That's why he revealed himself. That's why little by little he is patient. As we looked in Sunday school this morning, there was very little revelation of God early. I mean, he was revealed in the garden and walked with them, but his word hadn't been revealed. A lot about how to approach God, a lot about sacrifice and sin. There wasn't very much knowledge. And without that knowledge, because the revelation of God was small, darkness covered the earth. So much so that God wiped everybody out but Adam. I mean, but Noah. Adam was already gone by that time. But not far. You'd be surprised by that time. But God began with Noah and his family. But one of the things that struck me, because God's revelation was not very much, was why it's so dark. Amen? The purpose of God's revelation of himself was we'd know him, that we could know him. It is also to reveal how to live in harmony with God, at peace with God, the way God intended us to live, how to live in harmony and right relationship with one another, right? How to live like love demands, how to live a holy life, how to live treating people the way they ought to be treated. Amen? Treating God the way he ought to be treated. Truth, now listen to me. Truth will always lead us to a holy life. Listen, any teaching that tends to draw us away from a life of holiness is not truth. By its nature, if its tendency is to draw us away from knowing God, drawing us away from living holy, it is not truth. Titus 1:1, Paul, servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging the truth which is after godliness. And acknowledging the truth which is after godliness. Another translation renders that portion the knowledge of truth that leads to godliness. Amen? Truth leads to godliness. In that same passage, Titus was also instructed to speak sound doctrine. Titus 2:1, he says, "But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine," in this idea of truth leading to godliness. The idea of sound doctrine is wholesome, healthy. When you know, years and years ago, when people depended on horses, they would say, "The horse is sound." That meant he was healthy, ready to be worked, ready to be ridden, whatever. He was sound. And his has the same idea. Sound doctrine has the idea of being that which is healthy, that which is wholesome, that which leads us to live a spiritually healthy, wholesome life. I mean, it was instruction in practical living, how to live a holy life, how to conduct ourselves. In the same way, truth leads to wholesome living. Truth, sound doctrine, leads to spiritually wholesome life. Amen? Conversely, every error has a consequence. Every false idea, every false doctrine has a detrimental consequence. It may not be fatal. People can be Christians and hold false doctrines. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something some people tell me that, nope, if you have the Holy Spirit, everything you believe will be right. Well, I can show you lots of people that have the Holy Spirit that either me or them, one ain't right, because we don't agree. And I believe I have the Holy Spirit. And I tell you the truth is, I believe they do too. Not everything. You know, think of it this way. You know more today than you did the first day you got saved, right? And if you look back, you can look back over your life where you probably held some errors concerning God and how to live for God. Amen? Yet you were sincere and truly knew the Lord. Somebody can be sincere and truly know the Lord and not be properly instructed in everything they need to in God's Word, to not understand things as they need to. Amen? And it may not be fatal, and by the fatal I mean it may not cause them to be lost. But it causes hindrances. If you think back along your Christian life, some things you used to believe that were an error hindered you in working for God and walking the Christian life. They didn't cause you to be lost, but they hindered you. Amen? And that's what I mean. Every false idea, everything that isn't truth, has a negative consequence. It hurts. It hinders. Whereas truth is healthy, wholesome, and beneficial to a holy life. And that brings us back to our text. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We ought to have a burning desire to know the truth. Amen? That ought to be, and I'm saying this because here's where I don't want us to get unbalanced. I want us to be able to be Christian in our attitude and accept one another while we are yet coming to a point of seeing everything exactly the same. Amen? Just because somebody don't believe like I do on a certain area doesn't mean I have to say they're not saved. They're not a Christian. But on the other hand, it matters what we believe. Amen? We ought to have a burning desire to know what the truth is. Not be content to say, well, this is okay, and this is okay, and this is okay. Yes, we can accept people as knowing the Lord. Yes, we can accept each other and treat each other right with differences of opinion on some matters. But we don't need to stop there. In all of us, there ought to be a burning desire to know what the truth really is. What's God think about it? Amen? What's right? What's correct here? We ought to have a burning desire to know the reality concerning God. As He really is, that ought to be our burning desire. See God as He really is. That we can know Him and understand Him. Amen? To know the reality of how we ought to live. What is the right way? What is the right choices? Amen? How should we conduct ourselves? We ought to want to know. Hey, if every error has a consequence, which it does. I firmly believe that. Every error has a consequence, negative consequence. If it does, I should have a burning desire to have my life purged of error as much as possible. Amen? I should want to know what's right, so I not suffer consequences. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Our desire to know the truth, now listen to me, our desire to know the truth should not be driven by a desire to be able to out-argue and straighten everybody else out. Amen? Our desire to know the truth shouldn't be so we can say, we have the truth. Our desire to know the truth ought to be driven by our desire to grow spiritually. Amen? So we can conform our life in a more pleasing manner to God. That we can conform our life in treating others more like God would have us treat one another. Amen? That we can conduct ourselves like God would want us to grow spiritually, to grow in holiness, to progress in sanctification. Amen? I see people want knowledge just so they can straighten everybody else out. Or want knowledge so they can feel like, well, I know it and they don't, you know? Or to prove them wrong. That ought not be our desire. Our desire ought to be, I want to know the truth because I want to live the truth. I want to be right with God. Excuse me. Amen? We should examine God's Word because it's truth. Honestly and fairly, to make sure what we believe and what we are taught lines up with God's Word. Amen? That ought to be a burning desire of all of us. Remember the Bereans? I've mentioned them many times. I'll read it, but you know why. Paul commended the Bereans. That means he said, attaboy, good job. Like, right? I mean, Paul commended the Bereans. He said in the brethren, Acts 17:10, brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The Bereans were more noble. They're a better class of people than the Thessalonians. Thessalonians had run Paul and Silas out of town. They were more noble. They were Jews, both places. Both places was the synagogue where Paul preached. But in Berea, instead of just rejecting it because it was different, they searched God's Word to see if what they were hearing was correct or not. Amen? We ought to be, hey, those of us that teach and preach ought to be willing to have what we teach and preach examined in light of God's Word. Amen? Those of us who listen to teaching and preaching ought to be willing to have our thoughts and ideas challenged by God's word. Amen? Our desire for the truth should cause us to handle God's word with great care. Not go to his word to prove our point, but rather go to God's word to find out what is the truth. Amen? And that means not twisting it, not adding to it, not taking away from it, but honestly looking at God's word. Amen? And also accepting that God's word is enough. Those things that God has not spelled out in either precept or principle, we can leave alone. Do you know that? There's some things that God just didn't tell us. Amen? Where did angels come from? When did they come into being? How did Satan and the demons that follow him become evil? We're only given hints on any of that. We're not given a clear answer on any of that. You know what you need to do with those things? Leave them alone. Amen? It's not essential to our salvation. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect doesn't mean perfect in the sense of no imperfections whatsoever. What it means is thoroughly furnished, mature. It means the word of God fully equips one to fulfill that office. Amen? That scripture is what is necessary. That it's sufficient. It's enough. God in his wisdom said what he intended to say. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God hadn't revealed everything. There may be some mysteries that's not given to us to know, but he has revealed what we need to know to please him. And our intent needs to be to focus on what we know it takes to please him. Because if we get that right, we're accomplishing a great deal. Amen? If we've accomplished everything that God's revealed on how to please him, we're doing well. Don't add to God's word or take away from it. Deuteronomy 4:2, you shall not add unto the word which I commanded thee, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. They may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I commanded you. Taking away from God's word does not adapt it to our current needs. Taking away from it leaves us short of knowing what we need to know. Adding to God's word does not make us more holy. It makes us more proud because then we set ourselves up as judges, deciding we know more than God. God said here, but I say here. Hey, if God said here, that's good enough, folks. Amen? Amen? God knows where the limits need to be set. Revelations 22:18, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him none of the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of the book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. That's a pretty severe judgment, isn't it? Well, you couldn't get more severe than that, really. That's as harsh a threat as God could have added. That means, pretty plain he said, leave it alone. Don't, and both sides, don't add to it, don't take away. Amen? Obtaining the truth and keeping the truth often comes down to a matter of intentions. Our intention needs to be to know the truth. Amen? That we want to know the truth in order to be able to live the truth. We want to know what God has to say. No matter who it contradicts, amen, we must value God's word above every other man's opinion, tradition, or newfound teaching. It doesn't matter which, if it's a modern thing or an old thing, either one, God's word takes precedent above it. Amen? God's word, amen, above every man's opinion. All of us, listen to me now, all of us have a set of beliefs. We don't approach God's word void of any prejudices. I know that. I mean, I don't care what their background is. People from different backgrounds. We don't approach it void of prejudices. I'm aware of that. I'm aware all of us have certain the way you're taught, the way you're raised, those things you've heard preached, all present us with a certain set of beliefs and prejudices in certain areas. Amen? But we still, and I don't mean throw away what you've learned. I don't ever recommend that. Hold to what you know until God shows you something different. Amen? But we should be aware we probably do have some prejudices. We probably do have some blind spots or things that maybe are not exactly parallel. And therefore, we need to be careful to let God's Word still rule. If God's Word shows us, then we ought to be willing to move. Amen? Because our intention ought to be to know God's thoughts and God's will on every subject. If that's our intention, we're not having to. That's one of the things I have against denominationalism, groupism, sectism, whatever you want to call it. People begin to get a name and they identify with that name, and inevitably with that name, they identify with a set of doctrines. And in time, believe me, that set of doctrines becomes untouchable. That even God's Word can't touch that. Our intention, if we want the truth, ought to be, I want to know the reality. I want to know what God really says. Amen? Amen. Study to know the truth. Buy it and sell it not has the idea that buying, there might be some cost or effort involved, right? When he says buy the truth, sell it not, it has the idea there might be a cost, there might be some effort to be expended. 2 Timothy says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved. That means it may take some effort. There's no other subject in the world we'd expect to learn without diligent study, right? If you want to be an engineer, you would expect to have to apply yourself diligently to be an engineer. If you want to be a nurse, you're going to expect to have to apply yourself diligently to study to be a nurse, right? Any body of knowledge that we want to have, we expect to expend some energy in obtaining that. And the same may be for the truth. It isn't just automatic that we, because we're saved, we have the truth. And that's why there's such a diversity of opinion. Amen? It does take effort and honesty to be able to have the truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That means study in such a fashion that God can approve of what you're striving to know. Amen? That your efforts are in, I want to know the truth, God. I want to know what you really think, what your thoughts are on this. Amen? A workman that needeth not be ashamed. And that workman has the idea of one working for God, that we can do our study of Scripture and our work in the Scripture in a way that we're not ashamed of the work we're presenting to God in that manner. Rightly dividing the word means correctly understanding God's word, accurately handling God's word. One of the beginning places to know God's word is to let Scripture interpret Scripture. God's revelation was precept on precept. It was a bit of a progressive revelation. That means God spoke to a certain situation at a certain time that we had seen maybe one aspect. He may have spoken a different side of that at another time. So if you want to know what God thinks on a subject, we should strive to find out all God has to say on the subject. Not find three words that proves the point we want to prove, but find out everything God said on it, and then read and study all that He had to say on that subject so that we can begin to get in balance an idea of what the truth really is. Amen? And along that line, let the clear Scriptures interpret the less clear Scriptures. I'm immediately, and I mean immediately, red flags are flying when somebody builds a doctrine off some ambiguous or strangely worded verse. Something that isn't clear. You know why? Because God wants us to know the truth. Therefore, if we get into God's Word, there is clear Scripture to underlie and support that which God wants us to know. Amen? Don't take the most obscure Scripture and then make the clear Scriptures conform to that. take the clear scripture, and the obscure or the less clear has to be interpreted in light of the clear scripture. Amen? Avoid, listen to me, avoid speculative and new and strange meanings. Sometimes in a period of darkness, we think we're the first ones to ever discover the truth. We think we're the first one God's ever revealed anything to. Well, that kind of thinking usually gets people in trouble. Avoid the speculative, new, strange meanings. Remember, it ain't so we can be smart, so we can know more than somebody else. Our intent in knowing and learning should be to be able to know God better and to live a life more pleasing to Him. Amen? If we do that, we can come to a knowledge of the truth. We can come to a more unified knowledge of the truth. The reason we have such diversity is because there's so many things besides God's Word that are the underlying support of what people believe that they're unwilling to let go of. So-and-so preached this, my church believes this, this is my church's doctrine, all those things. Amen? That's what hinders God's Word being able to speak plain and clear, in part, to our generation today. The other side is our intention. A lot of people really don't want the truth because they really don't want to measure up the way they'd need to measure up if they accepted the truth. Amen? And therefore, they're content with what they got and how they're living, so they close their eyes to the rest of it. Verse tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. That ought to be a quest in our life, that we would come to know the truth about God and the truth about how He'd have us to live and hold to it. Amen? Value God's Word. Don't get sucked in. There's times when I get an idea in my mind that this man, and I start studying the Scripture, and that's not what that verse says. You know what? Abandon my ideas and let God's Word say what it says. Amen? Don't try and make God's Word say. If we don't handle God's Word honestly, believe me, people will know it. Your kids will know it. Your grandkids will know it. And pretty soon, if they find you twisting or disguising, hedging one area or another in God's Word, the first inclination is throw everything away. Nothing to any of it. Hey, let's be honest with God's Word. We need the truth. It's vital to our Christian experience. I am one who believes in tolerance in a lot of things. We're in a shape now where we need to judge the spirits, but there's so much misinformation in so many circles that we need to give people room to grow. But at the same time, I don't want you to think it don't matter what we believe. It matters very much what we believe. Does that make sense? I'm not talking out both sides of my mouth. I'm saying I recognize current situation. And I believe we ought to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit until we come to a unity of belief. Amen? We ought to strive to do that. Not unchristianize. Not run people down. But truth matters. Amen? Because it's truth that'll lead us out of the chaos that we're in. Amen? Amen. May God help you. I don't know if... I hope, again, sometimes when I preach a little bit more theological, I hope that you have interest in it because it is important to the day and time we live in. I know